We start. It's 8:03. Here we go. Okay? We are learning. Oh, chugging right along. Perek Dalad, Mishnah Yud Tes. Okay? Dalad Yud Tes. Here we go. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan says, Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. Uvekashlo Al Yageli Becha. And when he stumbles, your heart should not be happy. Pen Yireh Hashem V'Rabe Inav. Lest Hashem see and it's bad in his eyes. V'Hishiv Me'olav Apo. And he will return from him his anger, and he will, you know, again, basically pull back his anger from him. It's always good when I read Rav Hirsch with these translations. I should always do my first round with Rav Hirsch. Here we go, one more time. Ready? Think about, again, big picture questions, little picture questions. Shmuel Katan says, Shmuel Katan Omer, bin foli vecha al tismach, rejoice not when your enemy falls, uvikashlo al yageli becha, and let not your heart exult when he stumbles. Pen yireh Hashem v'rabe inav, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, the heishiv me'olav apo, and turn his wrath away from him. Okay, so that's Rav Hirsch's translation of the Mishnah. Now, what are the questions of the Mishnah? What questions do we have? Big picture questions, little picture questions. The first question, again, is that if you have the same kind of thing, book, safer that I have, you'll see that it quotes, the thing that Shmuel HaKatan says is actually from Mishlei. So it is not Shmuel HaKatan's own words here, at least this part of it. That's a quote from Mishlei, Chav Dalid, one second, Yud Zion, I think, not sure, I will find it for you, it's somewhere in my notes. Okay, good, so that's from Mishlei. So that's the first question. It's like, what do you mean Shmuel HaKatan says this? If it's in Mishlei, like, who is it Shmuel HaKatan? Now, the second part, like, which part is difficult? Which part is more difficult here? That's like, okay, fine. So, you know, Shlomo Melech says it, Shmuel HaKatan says it, fine. The second part of this mission is much more difficult. The Pen Yireh Hashem V'Rabe Inav V'Hishiv Me'olav Apo. Why is that so difficult? Several reasons. All right. I'll keep going. Bracha Moses and Bracha Cohen. Hello and welcome. They can't hear me because they're not connected to audio. Bracha Cohen, hello. Bracha Moses and hello. You're just in time to answer my questions about the questions. Answer my questions with questions. Okay, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Bin Poli Vecha, Al Tismachu, Bekashlo Al Yageli Becha. Shmuel HaKatan says, when your enemy falls, do not be happy, and when he stumbles, let your heart not rejoice. Pen yireh Hashem v'rabe inav, lest Hashem see and it's bad in his eyes, v'hishiv me'olav apo, and he shall turn away his wrath from him. Okay, so again, the first question is that Shmuel HaKatan's own quote is from Mishlei, so it's not Shmuel HaKatan. So what do we mean when we say Shmuel HaKatan says this? What is that supposed to mean? The second part is not only difficult, meaning why should it be that if you're happy that your enemy stumbles, Hashem stops making your enemy fall? Right? Or whatever. Hashem stops his wrath, whatever wrath he's expending on his enemy, he withdraws from it. Like, what? Why is that the mechanism that should work? Right? Why is that happening? The second is, and again, I didn't see anyone say this explicitly, but it's like very circular reasoning, right? It's not like don't be happy that your enemy's falling because Hashem is going to see and be upset with you, which I think would be like a little bit more. It's like if you want your enemy to keep falling, you can't be happy that he's falling. Because if you're happy that he's falling, then he won't fall anymore. But as long as you're not happy that he's falling, then Hashem will continue to make him fall. So if you want him to fall, you have to not be happy when he falls. Right? It's kind of like circular reasoning. Like, what is this like paradox? I want him to fall, so I can't be happy because I want it to keep him falling. And if I'm happy, then Hashem's going to make him not fall. So like, what is going on? Okay, so that's like a little bit confusing. It probably was confusing when you even heard me explain why it shouldn't be confusing. Weiter. Okay, so let's again read Rabbi Yonah and see how he answers all these questions. Let's go. Girsaz as verm. Okay, Shmuel HaKatan Omer ben Poli Bechal Tizmacha Bekashal Ayagili Becha. Ma ba lahashmi'inu Shmuel Navi. Shmuel HaKatan Bezeh. By the way, that's why Shmuel HaKatan is called Shmuel HaKatan, so you don't confuse him with Shmuel Navi. We just said Shmuel HaNavi. He's also called HaKatan for what's the other reason he's called Shmuel HaKatan? Anyone know who Shmuel HaKatan is? Why he's called Shmuel HaKatan? Which is going to be relevant here. Good, then we'll save it for later when it'll land more, because you'll know who he is after we learn what he says. Okay, Hashmianu Shmuel HaKatan Bezeh. What do you mean, Shmuel? What's Shmuel HaKatan coming to teach us? Hello, Pasuk Sholem. It's a Pasuk. What do you mean, Shmuel HaKatan is trying to teach us this Pasuk? It's a Pasuk. He doesn't need to say it. It's a Pasuk. We all know it, so to speak. Shlomo Lava Shalom Omero. It's in Mishlei. There it is. Chav Dalad Yedzayin. Ella Rotze Lomar. What does he mean to say? Shahaya Ragil Shmuel HaKatan Lomar Pasuk Zeh. Shmuel HaKatan, what does it mean? Huaya Omer. He would always say it. He would always be quoting this Pasuk. This was his favorite Pasuk to quote. Mipnei, why? Shehu davar hatzarich b'chol yom. It's something that's needed every day. Now, here's where we get a little bit mysterious. It's something that's needed every day. Uvnei adam nichshalim bo b'chol yom. And people struggle in it every day. They stumble in it every day. Okay, hold on. Pause. So this is interesting. Because I want everyone to, in some capacity, I only could see y'all right now, but either give me a thumbs up on your screen or a heart or like some gesture or don't and just nod your head somewhere and I'll try to like cosmic read it. How many people like feel like it's a daily struggle whether or not they're happy that their enemies are falling? How many people have enemies and have enemies who are consistently falling enough on a daily schedule, on a daily basis, that daily you're struggling with not feeling happy in your enemy's downfall? Thumbs up, everybody. I got a thumbs down. Exactly, right? Most of us are like, what? But according to whatever Shmuel HaKatan means, when he says this pasuk, he feels it warrants being said all the time. So already, whatever we might snap judgment think this pasuk is talking about, it's not so pasuk. Okay, so Rabbeinu Yonah is going to go on, and maybe he's going to answer some of the questions, maybe he won't, but that's what we're going to try to solve now in the rest of this chabur. Okay, so people struggle in it every day. It's a daily challenge. Why? Ki gam b'hiyosa oyev rasha, ein lismoach b'ra'aso. Even if your enemy is a Russia, you should not be happy in the bad that happens to him. So time out here. What did Rabbeinu Yonah just do, and why did it sort of blow our minds and sort of make a lot more questions for us? What did he do? What word was he just medayek on in the pasuk that totally in the Mishnah that totally changes the feel of it?
And Ayev can be a tzaddik or a Russia.
Exactly, that the Oyev, good, that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Oyev is not necessarily a Rasha. So your enemy, again, the Pasuk doesn't use, the Chiddush is that the Pasuk does not use the word Rasha. That would completely change the tone of the Pasuk. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is sort of pointing out by accident, right? Like sort of, you know, secondarily he's pointing this out. That the Pasuk would be totally different. Bin full Rasha al tismach. When an evil person falls, you shouldn't be happy. And when an even person stumbles, your heart, an evil person stumbles, your heart should not be happy. That's a very different meaning than to say when your enemy falls. Okay? Which one of them is more of the, like, the difficulty here is that Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, even if your enemy is a Russia, you shouldn't be happy. Which is like a little weird, right? It's a much more difficult thing to say that the Pasuk is saying, even if a Russia falls, you shouldn't be happy. Why not? Why not? Like it's much easier to say like if a Russia falls, right? It says like Ba'avod Rashaim Rina. It's a different pasuk, I think also in Mishlei, right? When evil people fall, there's happiness. So like, hold on a second. Why is Rabbeinu Yonah saying that this even applies when your enemy is a Russia? Even when your enemy is a Russia, you shouldn't be happy when he falls. Why not? Why not say, listen, when your enemy falls, you shouldn't be happy. But if a Russia falls, of course, like even if a Russia falls, you shouldn't be happy. Like now he's going to have to explain that. He just put a much bigger burden of explanation on himself. Why can't I be happy when a Russia falls? If there's an evil person who falls, why can't I be happy? Why does Rabbeinu Yonah go there? Why doesn't he just say, no, of course, if a Russia falls, you should be happy. Oyvecha means if you hate somebody and he's your personal enemy and he falls, you shouldn't be happy. It's a much easier thing to explain that. Have some good midos. If you hate someone and they fall, you shouldn't... Okay, good. Bracha, tell me why.
A question. So by fall, do we mean like something bad happens to them?
Yeah.
Or like, is it like, oh, great, they got publicly embarrassed and I'm so excited? Or is it that, let's say, they were in power and they would come out of power? Because I feel like I've heard that it's like a Kiddush Hashem, that when there's someone who's like publicly and outwardly a Russia and then kind of like Hashem's prevailing, like let's say in the Megillah, like when... And I felt that was very exciting. It was a huge Kiddush Hashem. So, like, which type of
falling
is it?
Good. It seems to be either or both. And, Bracha, you're pointing out another question, right? Shouldn't there be room here for us to be happy when a Russia falls? Especially if you're thinking of a Russia, and you're thinking of a legit Russia like Haman. right? When Haman fell, we say, La'ihudim ha'isa or of a simcha, and we say it like every Motzei Shabbos for our whole lives, right? Like, it's actually a really big deal. Abracha, you're not muted, and I can hear some background noise. Thanks. Right? It's like, so Bracha is pointing something out. Like, what do you mean we're not happy when a Russia falls? It makes a massive Kiddush Hashem, and sometimes it saves the Jewish people. Of course we're happy when a Russia falls. Like, what is going on, right? So again, so now we're stuck, because Oyivecha could mean Russia, it could not mean Russia. And if it means Russia, it's even more difficult, but that's where Rabbeinu Yonah is leading us. So here's our first question. Why is Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't know if he's mukharach necessarily, but what support does Rabbeinu Yonah have to say, this pasuk is talking about a situation even when an Oyev is a Russia? I think it's very simple. And I understand it's like kind of a complicated question. I think it's very simple. I think it's like, it's too pashut. To be like, Shalom, what were you going to say?
I was just, maybe I'm making this up, but wasn't there an idea by like Yetziat Mitzrayim that like we were not supposed to be too happy that the Egyptians were being killed because they're like Hashem's creations?
Good, good, also. Exactly. Good, I love it. So that's, I think that there's a conflict between this Mishnah, or again, not this Mishnah necessarily, but the Pasuk in Mishlei and the other Pasuk, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina and Bifolei Vecha Al Tismach. Right, like those are the two kind of philosophical sides of this, of the coin. Right, that on the one hand, we're happy, like Bracha just said, we're happy when Rishayim fall. What do you mean? Of course. And it's a Mefurash Pasuk. And Shalom, it's saying, no, we also have instances where we see that we're not really supposed to be happy. Good. So that's exactly where we're going in this Mishnah, okay? I think the Pashup shot of why Rabbeinu Yonah isn't saying that, like, Oyvecha is an Oyev. Like, of course, when a Rasha falls, of course you should be happy, but when an Oyev falls, you know, it's like, you don't need a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to tell you, like, you shouldn't hate people. And if you hate someone who is not a Rasha, so you hate a good person, and that person falls, you shouldn't be happy about it. I don't think you need a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That's just, like, basic good mitos, right? You don't like, I don't like Sprinza, because Sprinza, I'm a tomato seller, and Shminza is a tomato seller, and she sells more tomatoes than me. So I'm mad about it, and some, you know, storm comes over and knocks over all her tomatoes, and I go over and I'm like, eh. And I like have a whole party in my house because Sprinza's tomatoes fell over, right? You don't need a Mishnah to tell you that I'm like a crim person, right? We don't need that. So what's this Mishnah has to be teaching, or whatever, the Pasuk and the Mishnah have to be teaching us something. What's it teaching us? It's teaching us, even if your enemy is a Russia, you still shouldn't be happy when he falls. Why not? Why not? And again, now we have that conflict with the other Pasuk too, okay? So here we're going. Let's keep going. Everybody, you know, we just had to pause to understand what he meant there. The factor that he was throwing in is extremely significant. Even if your Oyev is a Russia, you should not be happy when he has bad, once bad stuff happens to him. Bilti, here he's going to give deference to Bracha Kohen. Bilti mipnei Hashem levado. You should only be happy on Hashem's behalf. What does it mean? We're so many Lamar. What do I mean by that? Kigam hatzadik lo yismach b'mapelas harashayim. A tzadik should not be happy when Rashayim fall. Ach, unless, or only in a situation, im... Kavana simchaso mipnei shemapalaso kivot shemayim. The only situation in which you're happy when a Russia falls is if you're a tzaddik, and if the only reason you're happy is because there's some sort of kiddush Hashem that happens, right? There's kivot shemayim, Purim story, and Mordechai and Haman is a perfect example. Bracha, thank you for it. Right? Kivot shemayim, lo mipnei sinaso oso, and not because you don't like him, not because you're his enemy. The kol shekem misha ma'asav. Okay, so hold on a second. So what support does he have for that from the pasuk? Okay. Oh, there is a situation in which you can be happy, but it's only if you're a tzaddik, he's a Russia, and you're happy because of kvod shemayim. And that's really not what this pasuk is talking about, right? That's not the muster that we're getting. That's the situation where it's okay to do it. Fine, I'm going to keep going. But what is this telling you to do or not to do? Again, in parentheses, hold on a second. Pause, right, for a second. This set of Mishnayos that we've been done recently are more difficult than usual because they're only phrased in the negative, right? And it's very hard. They're telling us don't do something without telling us to do something. And that's what we're always left with as we read this Mishnah. This is telling you don't be happy at the downfall. Okay, but what should I be instead, right? How do I react to that kind of situation instead? What is this telling me to do in a positive way, right? That's the kind of difficulty that we end up with that we have to figure out. Okay, so again, let's now parentheses and close parentheses and let's keep going. The kol shekein misha masav mikukolim kamoso. How much more so if you're not a tzaddik? Right? He might not be a total Russia. You're certainly not a total tzaddik, right? You have some deeds of yours that are just as krum as whatever you think that this person is guilty of as a Russia. Im yage libecha behikashlo, if you are happy when he stumbles, ra'aso rabba, yeah, it's really bad. V'loma hu sameach, v'inei hu kimoso. Why are you happy? You're like him. Okay, and then Alkei Amar Binboi Bachal Tismach Belezeh Haya Mischab Bin Shmuel Katan Lamar Tadir. That's why Shmuel Katan would say it all the time. So hold on a second. Remember, Shmuel Katan says this all the time. He all the time says this pasuk Binboi Bachal Tismach Bekashlo Al Yigali Bachal. And he tells you, which is telling you, don't be happy when your Oye falls. And then he gives you, by the way, this, like, again, in Rabbeinu Yonah, this, like, side note, that of course there are some times where you can be happy. Which is that if you're a tzaddik, he's a rasha, and you're happy because of Kol Shebayim. But by the way, since Shmuel HaKatan had to say this all the time, what does he think is almost never the situation? You almost never encounter something where you're a tzaddik, he's a rasha, and you're happy because of Kol Shebayim. So therefore, what do you actually always have to remember? What's the word for that? By the way, anyone know? There's a word for this. I'm going to teach you all tonight. It's a German word, obviously. Because Germans have words for everything. Love German words for everything. Like Weltanschwang. What's the German word for being happy when someone else has a downfall? Anyone know? The word is Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. Okay, I will type it out to you or something like that in the chat, or I'll put it on the Chabura, and everyone who is in here will be horribly jealous that they have no idea what's going on, and we won't be happy about it, okay? Because that would be Schadenfreude itself. Schadenfreude, okay? Happiness at someone else's downfall, at someone else's bad stuff happening to other people, and it makes you happy. Fine, okay? So where are we in our logic over here? Okay, what support does he have from the pasuk for this? What support does he have from the pasuk for this? Again, what is he telling us not to do? He's telling us not to be happy when your enemy falls. And he doesn't say why, and he doesn't really explain it, and he gives us the one situation where it's okay. He does sort of explain why. What's his reasoning why? Why, if Shmuel HaKatan is saying it always, he's assuming that you're not a tzaddik, and that he's not totally a rasha. And therefore, you and him have way more in common than you think. Right? That's what he said at the end. You also have some krumkeit in you. You're also not perfect. Why are you happy that someone who's partially a Russia and partially good and partially bad is getting bad? You're also partially good and partially bad. So according to Shmuel HaKatan, what's the moral here? What's the Moser Haskel? What Mida is this teaching us? What would you say?
Kind of existing in the gray zone, so realizing things aren't so black and white, they have their milos, they have their chasronos. That's good to me.
I love that, right? Being able to be like a complex person. You look out at reality instead of like, I'm the good guy, he's the bad guy, he's getting bad, that's good. I love it, Bracha, right? It's a little more complex than that, good. I think like the basic nafgamina is humility, right? Ben poli becha al tismach. Why are you not happy when your enemy rejoices? Because again, like Bracha says, you see a complex reality and like you're humble. You also realize that you have some badness within you. Medr Shmuel sort of like lays a layer on top of that I love. He says like, listen, if you're a ma'amin, even if you think that you're righteous and he's not righteous or whatever, right? You think you're good and he's bad, basically, and he's getting bad. But you also understand that there's cosmic justice in the world. And this guy, this bad guy, this guy who sells more tomatoes than you or steals your tomatoes or whatever he is that makes you hate him, that he's not quite a Russia, but you're not quite a tzaddik, right? Whatever it is, you're hating him. But now cosmic justice has been meted out to him. And he's done his dues. And therefore, whatever he's faced, whatever badness he's faced, because he's a bad guy, to make up for, again, mete out cosmic justice on his behalf, what about you? What about you? You haven't had cosmic justice meted out to you. So now maybe he's actually like on a higher level than you, so to speak, because he got what was coming from him and you didn't yet. So again, if you're a humble person and you look at the world, you're never going to be happy that someone else is falling because like they're partially evil and they're sort of getting repaid, and it makes you a little confused about yourself. Right? And it kind of like sparks this humility and it's almost like sense of repentance within you. Which makes sense with Shmuel HaKatan. That's the reason Shmuel HaKatan was named Shmuel HaKatan. The Katan was both to differentiate him from Shmuel HaNavi, but also because he was a Katan, so to speak, because he was so humble. They called him Shmuel HaKatan. He is the one who made what? What did he add to our liturgy? What is he famous for adding to our liturgy? He added the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei. By the way, we call Shmona Esrei 18, right? Shmona Esrei 18, and there's actually 19 brachas. The 19th was added by Shmuel HaKatan, who they deployed to write this bracha, this added bracha of Alamal Shinim, against the evil people. And who did they want to write the bracha against the evil people? Person? The most humble person they know, who is Shmuel HaKatan. And what is Shmuel HaKatan known for saying? This pasuk in Mishnah, don't hate your enemies. even your enemies that are Rishayim you shouldn't hate. So who's the one who makes the bracha of Vilamal Shanim? Shmuel HaKata. Right, there it comes full circle, because he is the one who has the most compassion on them. So what support does he have from the pasuk? How could he say this? How could he say it? Where does he have from the pasuk that it is your enemy, it isn't your enemy? I think it's actually a very tight read of the pasuk. Because again, the pasuk doesn't say bin pol rishayim al tismach, because like Bracha said, and like Rabbi Yonah says, you could be happy when the Russia falls. But the point here is that even if the Russia falls, but you're happy because he's your enemy, that's the problem. This pasuk is not telling you not to be happy when a Russia falls. You could be happy when a Russia falls, but if the Russia is your enemy, or if it's your enemy anyways and he's not a Russia, that's the problem. The problem has been full aivecha al tismach. You're happy that he fell, not because he's a Russia. The pasuk is implying the reason that you're happy is because he's your enemy. If you were happy that someone falls because he's your enemy, no, that's what Shmuel Katan is saying. I have to tell everybody all the time this. Okay, we have to get into the why we're telling everybody all the time this, right? But again, that's the point. That's what the pasuk is saying. It's saying that you're happy because he's your enemy. You can't be happy at his downfall because he's your enemy. That means you're krim. Right? That means that this isn't actually about whether or not he's a Russia and Kavod Shemayim. Right? It means like you think that that's your motivations, and it's not. You're happy because he's your enemy. And here's what's more, right? It's bin pol aivecha al tismach. When are you happy? When are you expending emotional energy on this person? Once they fall. If they're Russia, once they fall, why are you happy when they fall? You shouldn't be happy when a Russia falls. You should be like your emotional reaction to the fall of a Russia. Now that he's fallen, right? Now that he's not a threat anymore. Now that he's not like threatening to kavod shemayim in the world. You don't have to be happy at that. You don't have to be happy at that. You should be like chaval for the waste of the human being. That's our emotional reaction to it. Bin pol aivecha, he's already fallen. He's not a threat anymore. He's not a threat anymore. You don't have to be happy. Happiness is the wrong emotion to feel here. If you actually care about Kavod Shemayim, and it's not about your personal tit for tat with him as your Oyev, but it's actually about a Russia, the emotion that you're going to feel is not happy. The emotion that you're going to feel is like chaval for the waste of a human soul. So once you're feeling happiness, and once it's happiness because he's your enemy, that's what Shmuel HaKatan is hitting on. Okay, let's go to the second half.
Chaval for the waste of Kavod Shemayim.
For sure, meaning for sure you could... you're saying instead of happy at the no... Yeah, for sure. Yeah, bracha. Good. Chaval for the waste of Kavod Shemayim, meaning whatever, like Haman, right? Like whatever he was doing while he was alive, chaval for that, right? But again, bracha, like the happiness is also appropriate at the no longer the obstacle to Kavod Shemayim, right? That's where the happiness, that's where the feeling of... that's the only place, Rabbeinu Yonah was saying in the same way, vein that you were saying, that's the only place that happiness is appropriate, is that you're happy that there's no longer that obstacle to Kavod Shemayim. But if that's actually how you feel, it's not. It has nothing to do with the Oyev and the Nefila, right? You're happy about something else. It has nothing to do with your enemy falling. That's not what you're happy about. You're happy about Kavod Shemayim. So like it's not the same thing. That feeling is not the same thing as this pasuk. Okay, let's keep going. Second part. Pen Yir Hashem v'Rabeinu v'Hishiv Me'olav Apo. Okay, this is actually a fascinating read of this Mishnah that took me both Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbi Avadya Bat Shneur. You put them together and you're like, oh. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to be difficult, or Hirsch is going to step in and save us. Okay, pen yir'eh Hashem v'ra be'inav, lest Hashem sees and it's bad in his eyes, v'heshiv me'olav apo, and he turns his wrath away from him. Here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, to be honest with you guys, I contemplated skipping it and just going straight to Rav Hirsch, because it's not going to feel good what he says. Okay, here he goes, but then I didn't, because it's not right. Maybe. Okay, charon apo, lo ne'amar, ela apo. Okay, where am I? Yes, Christina. Okay, pen yir Hashem v'ra be'inav v'heshiv me'olav apo. Charon apo lo ne'amar. It doesn't say charon apo, which is usually what we use to mean anger of Hashem. Ela apo. It just says his anger or his whatever, some other lashon that means anger. Melamed. It teaches you shemochlin lo akol avonosav, that Hashem actually forgives this enemy for all of his sins. Va'ata hishmianu Shmuel chiddush gadol. And here's the chiddush of Shmuel Anavi, meaning this is, I mean, Shmuel HaKatan. And here's the part that he adds on to the pasuk of Mishlei that he was quoting from Shlomo. Ki yira Hashem shezeh sameach ben fol oivo. Hashem will see that this person is happy when his enemy falls. Ve'yimchol lo'oyev, and he will forgive the enemy his sins. V'yakim oso, v'hu onesh l'sameach, and basically he will instead transfer the punishment from the oyev to the person who's happy about his oyev's downfall. Okay? That's Rabbeinu Yonah. Not only will Hashem turn away his wrath, Hashem will turn away the wrath from this guy and put it on you. So, you should have one basic sentiment here, which is what? Who wants to enlighten us? Anyone have questions or this is like well? What'd you say?
Sorry, I think I misheard your question.
No, like what's your question? What's your question here? What's your question on this Rabbeinu Yonah?
No, I don't have a question.
You don't have a question on Rabbeinu Yonah? Well, I do. Does anyone have a question on Rabbeinu Yonah? Okay, I have two questions. Firstly, how does this make any sense? And secondly, how is it fair? Were those your questions, Yael?
No, I've just heard that idea before.
You did?
And I never knew where it came.
Oh my goodness. I mean, maybe it's from here. It's probably from here, no?
Yeah, no, it probably is, but I've just heard it before.
All right, and thirdly, where did he get that from? Right? This is like a very alarming Rabbeinu Yonah. Not only is it binfolei, like that's not what the pasuk says. Mishlei does not say that. Mishlei says, binfolei vecha al tismach ubekashlo al yigalei vecha. Don't be happy when he falls. Shmuel HaKatan adds on, if you're happy when he falls, not only does Hashem take away his wrath from this enemy, but he takes away the wrath from the enemy and puts it on you. So like, hold on a second. Where did he get that from? Where did he get that from? Why is he saying that the puzzle? Why is he saying that Shmuel Kotan is saying that? That's the first question for Yonah. Why did he say that? And the second question for Yonah is like, where do we get that? What do we do with that? So again, I'm not 100% sure how to answer that second part. I have like an idea that I'll share at the end after we do Rav Hirsch that I read from Rav Reuven Volka. But here's where he gets it from. He gets it from a very specific place, which actually shocked me, okay? Here's where he gets it from. He gets it from this place, which is this. And he says this. It says, Heishiv me'olav apo, not v'heishiv me'olav charon apo. Okay, so why is that such a big difference? You go to Rav Avadra Bachanura, who says the other half of this. V'heishiv me'olav apo. Medolaksi v'shav ela v'heishiv. It doesn't say v'shav, it says v'heishiv. Mashma yisirehu me'alai vecha v'yishivehu alecha. So between those two things, Rabbeinu Yonah is pointing out something that's actually fascinating. What's the regular lashon for saying that Hashem will turn his anger away from somebody? Meaning that Hashem was angry and Hashem is no longer angry. What would the biblical lashon of that be? Does anyone know when we say that Hashem decides not to be angry? What'd you say? Brecha, brecha, no. I yell it.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say when he gets angry. No,
opposite. When Hashem decides to no longer be angry, what's the lashon that we use to say that? I yell it? Nope.
Aura, like that.
Say it again. I missed it. Ooh, I yell it. I can't hear you. Oh, yeah, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. The regular lashon that we use is Vishav Mecharon Apo. That's how you say it. Does it ring a bell? That's how you say that Hashem decides not to be angry at someone anymore. You say, Vishav Mecharon Apo. That's not what it says here. Heishiv Charon Apo. Exactly. So it says actually, Vishav Mecharon Apo. Mecharon Apo. Heishiv Mecharon Apo. Okay? So here, it doesn't say Vishav. It says Vheishiv. And it doesn't say Charon Apo. It says Apo. So Vheishiv Me'olav Apo implies that there still is anger. It's just not on him anymore. So that's where Rabbeinu Yonah gets. The anger that was on him is now transferred from him, but hey, the anger is still there. It just goes on you now. V'heishiv me'alav apo. Hashem will move from him his anger, in parentheses, onto you. So that's where he gets it from, but we're still left with the, like, how is this fair, and what is this talking about, and help, 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 and Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't give us any clues. Okay, he doesn't give us any clues. So now we're going to go to Rav Hirsch, who's going to give us some clues. He's going to take it a little bit different direction. He does not read the last part as Rabbeinu Yonah did. And again, if you've stuck with us till Perek Daled, you probably could have guessed that as well. Okay, Rav Hirsch, I didn't think he was going to comment on that, and he does not comment on that. He does not read the pasuk, the Mishnah that way, because again, he doesn't think it's mukhrach that you have to read it that way. Okay, but Rav Avraham Bilko is going to kind of do a pshara between the two of them, and we'll either like it or we won't. And let's go. Okay. Rav Hirsch, if your enemy who has pursued you should fall, do not rejoice. And if he commits a moral blunder, do not exult in the knowledge that at long last the whole world will see how wicked he is. 4. Pay attention. If you were thus to gloat at another's misfortune, here's like a total different read of this Mishnah. Ready? Of the point of this Mishnah. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah and Shmuel HaKatan, the moral seems to be like humility, right? You should know that you're also part bad and part good. So if he's getting what's coming to him, you're going to get what's coming to you. So don't gloat, okay? Here's Rav Hirsch's Reason for not gloating. For if you were thus to gloat at another misfortune, you would commit a grievous sin against God. Why? I added the why. Why? Let's see. It may very well be that God has tolerated your foe's pursuit of you, only as a means to bring about your moral betterment. Your malicious joy at his downfall would then indicate to God that you have still not attained moral maturity. As a consequence, it may be that he will let your pursuer rise again in order to complete the process of your moral betterment. That's the first part. Ben foli becha al tismach. Why not? Why not? Why not? What's her first saying? It's beautiful. What's her first saying? Similar to Bracha a little bit, right? It's so small-minded to see him as your enemy that you're going to be happy in his betterment. That's not what the world around you should look like to you. It's not what it should look like. It shouldn't look like your enemy that's pursuing you that you're happy if he calls. The world around you is one, should look like one thing to you, which is a reality engineered by God to teach you something. So if there's someone in the world who seems to be your enemy because he drives you insane, or because you don't like him, or because you think he's evil, etc., etc., your relationship with him is one in which you try to become a better person because of that oyev. So when he falls, what's your reaction to it? Your reaction to it is like, okay, there goes, no, I learned from him, blah, 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 or chava. I mean, he's going to go on to what your reaction should be, right? But if you're happy at his downfall, meaning Rav Hirsch, who knew the word shodin for it, and for some reason the translator didn't put it in here, or maybe he didn't write it, right? If you are feeling happiness at the downfall of another person, yeah, ha, 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 even though you didn't like him, you're indicating to Hashem that you have not yet become more moral. You haven't become as good a person as you needed to be, as you need to be in life. And maybe that enemy will stay there for in your life. That's why the Heshiv Me'el Avapo, right? Reverse just answer the question. Why does it make sense that if you're happy when he falls, that Hashem decides to not make him fall anymore? Because Hashem put that enemy in your life to teach you something. And if you haven't learned and you haven't become a generally more moral, more better person, and you can still experience Shoden Freuda, then Hashem can't take this person away from your life because you still have what to learn from him. You still have what to learn. Again, it's difficult because, like, how do you know this person is actually teaching you that? Maybe he's teaching you something else. Again, so, like, as I'm saying it, I hear those questions in my head too. Let's refer to this point. If someone is needling at you, the point of it is to become a better person. And if Hashem takes them away and you indicate to Hashem very clearly that you are not a better person, that you are not a moral person, then challenges will come back that will teach you morality. This enemy might be one of them. Okay, and Rav Hirsch, go ahead, Bracha.
Sorry. Could we, like, substitute a different word for enemy? Like, it's just so hard to relate to that word, I feel like.
Good for you. Right? Exactly. Well, here's Rav Hirsch, okay? He's going to do that for us also. He's not really reading it necessarily as an enemy, certainly not as a Russia. Here you go. Shmuel Katan quotes that admonition from Proverbs to remind himself and others too, how closely we must guard at all times against entertaining any feeling of malice towards any of our fellow men. There you go, Bracha, okay? He's not reading this as oyvecha specifically. It's not really about your enemy. It's about you feeling shoden freuda, you feeling happy at the downfall of anybody, any of your fellow men. That's just not the relationship that you should have with other people, right? It is not enough merely not to do evil to our foe and not to wish him ill. It's not enough not to do bad. It's not enough not to wish bad. It's also not enough to not feel badly when someone else, not to feel good when someone else is, I'll stop trying to paraphrase what I was reading. Even malicious joy at misfortune. Maybe malicious joy is a way of saying shodan foreda, right? Even malicious joy at misfortune that came to him without any act on our part is a grievous sin indeed before the Lord. Right? You just should not feel happiness at the downfall of another human being. That is krum. That is not our relationship with other people. Doesn't matter if he's your oyev. Doesn't really matter if he's a Russia. Again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Those things don't really matter. Your reaction to the downfall of another person should never be joy. It could be chaval. It could be relief. It could be pity. It could be, you know, a breath of fresh air. But it shouldn't be happiness. Once it's happiness, again, that relationship is off. It's your oyev. It's a nifl. He's already fallen. Why are you happy? All that stuff, okay? So here's a way. So again, Rav Hirsch has like it's different reading Rabbeinu Yonah. It's beautiful, right? You're not, because it teaches you a hashkafas achayim of Rav Hirsch. You look at the world around you that it's meant to be teaching you something. And you look at the challenges that they're from Hashem and he wants you to learn from them. And again, therefore, like it never bleeds into this like weird, like assumption of cosmic justice on behalf of other people and like, ha ha, now everyone's going to know that he's evil. It's just, it's like not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to look at our life as teaching us something and learn something from it. Okay. Here's a way to like, again, sort of explain the last part of Rabbeinu Yonah, given the reverse that we just read. Reuven Volkow, again, in this book, has a fascinating connection to the previous Mishnah, right? The previous Mishnah is talking about, you know, not being overzealous to fix people, right? Not being overzealous to fix good people by telling them, like, by overloading goodness on them, right? Don't be overzealous to fix other people, basically. That was the moral of last week. This week is like, don't be overzealous in your enemies, right? Don't be overzealous to fix your enemies. Like Rav Hirsch said, that's not your relationship with your enemies. It's not that you're overzealous that like, now there's cosmic justice. Your relationship with your enemies is just to try to learn something in your own life. And he says also that if, again, you see this enemy's downfall, and you had been telling yourself your whole time in your head that you're bickering with this enemy, or again, bracha doesn't have to be an enemy, like you're bickering with this other person is over like, you know, more value. You know, it's not a petty misjudgment that I have with him. It's a value thing. Like I value this, he values that. That's what we're like, we're, you know, arguing on Kiddush Hashem, so to speak. Like, right? Like it's all shame shemayim, our fight, right? But then he falls. One second, let me just make sure I got it right. Right, okay, so he's saying again, like, the basic thing that we've been saying before is, like, if when he falls, you feel happy, right? If that's your reaction, you feel happy when he falls because he's your enemy, it just shows that it was an ego thing all along. It was an ego thing all along. This thing that you had assumed was a value difference between you and the other person, it was an ego thing. It was an ego thing. Because that's when you're happy. Once he's already fallen, he's not a threat to you anymore, he isn't annoying you anymore, he's, like, a total non-whatever, and you're happy because he's your oyev. Right, it wasn't a value thing. It was an ego battle that you picked with him. And once Hashem sees that you're happy when he falls, and that therefore your whole bickering with him was actually about your ego, so to speak, and not about your value, you've just concretized that reality. And now you deserve something also. He's not the only one in this interchange who deserves to fall. You brought it on your own head. If you're happy when he falls, you have also some krumkeit within you that needs to, again, be given some cosmic justice itself. And that's why you will also, you know, get the short end of that deal when push comes to shove. So again, maybe it doesn't exactly solve Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll have to ask Rabbeinu Yonah. We'll add this to the list of things to ask Rabbeinu Yonah after 120. I'm really actually looking forward to that in 120 years and not earlier than that. But that's that. Okay. Questions, comments, critiques.